Through our pulpit, the Reverend Chris Harbour, Indigenous Native Priest of the Anglican Diocese of Toronto and Anglican Priest of Toronto Urban Native Ministry. Chris Harbour.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. I speak to you today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, just before I begin, I better put a timer on. I've been told I have a day and a half. And we will go with it from there. This morning, my relations, it is an honor to be able to walk with you in ministry and word. In this, your Peace and Social Justice Sunday, it's an honor to see that even in your bulletins, you have at the very front something we got to talk about at in the back there, the acknowledgement of the traditional lands of the peoples, where the words are printed and say, for thousands of years, this land has been the traditional home of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. It is still home to Indigenous people from across Turtle Island, and we're grateful to work and live and worship on this land. But my challenge to every church and every parish that I've been blessed to be able to preach in is that our words need to be more than just words. Words are fleeting, and words far too often just roll so easily off the tongue. But instead, these words should come from your heart and spirit. For in this way, we become able to walk together as children of God, uplifting each other and blessing each other as we are blessed through faith and understanding. So I challenge you, as a church and a community in God, that you speak and live out your faith. For what you say and do should indeed come from your heart. And it is from there that true peace and blessings flow out to the glory of God Almighty. My name is Reverend Chris Harbour. I am the Indigenous Native Priest for the Diocese of Toronto Anglican. And yes, I know it is repetitive, but it makes people ask. I have been blessed to have this title for just over a year. And I've been blessed and to be able to speak in parishes and communities across the city and the diocese. And this means that for the first time in my ministry, I don't have a parish under my charge. This also means that I am blessed to see the church in a wider view and spectrum that I might not otherwise have ever had or been given the opportunity to. I also share in ministry with the Toronto Urban Native Ministry. And together, we, as we love to say, TUNM, T-U-N-M, Toronto Urban Native Ministries, my faith partners. We minister to the people in need and to those who walk on the edge of the trail of life and faith. And it is through the ministry of Toronto Urban Native Ministries that I've come to see that true people walk in seeking hope and peace. Then through the power of the Word of God, they receive and are turned out to share that same hope and peace with other people on the trail. in my city ministry. I have also come to see that people are people, no matter how they dress or how they express themselves. I see this on the streets and in our beloved TTC. I love the TTC. You probably have never heard that before. But I do. I love public transportation system because in that setting you see all kinds of people, good and bad, innocent and not so innocent, but still children of God's creation. On a side note, I love to marvel at the unspoken rules of engagement and human interaction in the transit system and on public elevators. I marvel how people put in their earbuds and their headphones as a form of isolation and separating themselves from the rest of the human family, and how people pretend to fall asleep instantly that they sit down in the chair so that they won't have to give up their seat for somebody else, a lady or a lady with a child. But still, I marvel at how people continue on, even though life and love are happening in the seat right next to them, and they ignore it and just continue on in their conversations and their phones. I marvel at how seeing everyone's faces in a way that when you walk into an elevator and you notice that everyone faces the same way. Have you ever noticed that? You get into an elevator and everyone faces the door. I'm the kind of individual that love to challenge conventional activities and practices. So I'm the kind of person that gets into an elevator and faces everyone. I've even been known to ask everyone, you're probably wondering why I've asked you here today. I like to make everyone smile, especially in those uncomfortable quietness of the elevator where there's no elevator muzak. And as a priest who is an opportunistic, outgoing, gregarious, and sometimes foolish individual, I will even classify myself that one that likes to challenge the uncomfortableness of the situation. I like smiling at people, especially when our eyes meet. And usually they will smile back, or else they'll put their eyes back down. Once, I even asked, just before I got off the elevator, if anyone had ever been to the 45th floor on a 44-story building. A smile can go a long way. It blesses. It makes everyone's day just a little bit more lighter, and is one of the smallest and first steps in our ministry journey. Now, my ministry has not always been in the city, and I can say that I have been blessed to have been able to travel and see some of the world as well, and even across this beautiful land we call Canada. I have traveled side by side with my wife of 38 years, and Tracy and I have journeyed together and marveled at God's glory revealed in creation. And we have prayed together over the challenges of humanity in relation to creation. Together, we have seen the beauty of a herd of giraffes walking across the plains of Maasai Mara in Africa. We have seen the wonder of God's glory in a full moon's reflection of God's that are reflecting off of God's diamonds and ice crystals on an early Christmas morning, when returning home after 3 to 4 Christmas Eve services in rural Saskatchewan. We have traveled together in ministry, and we have seen of herds of 30-plus deer and fields full of snow geese and Canadian geese. We have seen the dance of the ancestors in the northern lights, and we have heard the northern lights hiss as they come near close to the ground. Together we have gloried in the beauty and the expanse of the heavenly Milky Way on a clear northern Saskatchewan night. And together we have sung hymns of praise and thanksgiving to the glory of God in his creation. And indeed, this is my Father's world. I remember traveling to many parishes. I had a multi-point ministry mostly before. And in the travels, I would always see on that early Sunday morning all these beautiful sights all around. And I would always sing that hymn, that old hymn, "This is my Father's world." This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. God's glory. We forget that sometimes when we live in the city. I try to get out as much as I can to reconnect with nature and to humble myself and to realize my place in God's creation. And it is exactly as my dear brother mentioned, we are not over and above to dominate, but instead to be in harmony with and to walk in respect with nature and all of creation. But we miss this when we rush around too much. Creation sings out the glory of God in beauty and wonder, exactly as Psalm 19 says. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims it's his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, and there are no words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out throughout the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Beauty and creation. Beauty and creation is also in the creation of this handiwork in humanity. If we could only see this through the lens of humility. But pride and the need for control clouds the heart and opens the door to domination. And these are the attributes which diminish our world, life, and witness. Humility is one of the grandfather teachings, or the guiding principles, if you will, along with bravery, honesty, wisdom, truth, respect, and love. And no, there is no test, so you don't have to remember them all now. These teachings are varied forms that give the indigenous peoples directions on a strong, abiding, familial family community. These teachings also taught in respect of the people with all creation. I remember as a child, the elders would pray in their private prayers or when they're making the prayer offering. They would sit on the ground so that they would be closer to creation and to pay respect for creation and all around them. For it was the created world that was feeding and clothing, and all was interdependent and related. Faith calls us to see things anew and open our hearts to the new life in Christ, to see that God's blessing and glory is all around us in creation, and thus we should honor and respect creation for that very point. As Christians, it is our faith expression and witness that is revealing, and that comes from the heart of the faithful. In how we bless as we are blessed, we love as we are loved, and we forgive as we are forgiven. Faith is that which we lift up for all the world to see and witness. Words and lip service are cheap, someone once told me. Show me you mean it. That person continued. Today we hear this in the gospel message, a passage which challenges the best of us, but speaks to our ministry. And our ministry also to those around us. A ministry that each and every one of us are called to. And a ministry that is to be brought out and forward to the glory of God, Lord and King. Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. I once preached a more detailed sermon on that very passage. And I'd said in that sermon that it's better to be a lamb in innocence than an old goat in self-righteousness. And after the service was ending, one of the ladies of the church pointed to her husband and said, "My husband is just an old goat, period." So I shortened that sermon title to be "Better to be a lamb than an old goat." Our struggles in its pride, our world struggles in its pride to see that we do anything wrong. But innocence and ignorance should never be mixed up. Truth is given on the nightly news when we see and hear of so much pain, wars, and wrongdoing. There is no good nightly news stations on our televisions and monitors to offer truth and hope, much less peace. When we deny ourselves of truth, pride, greed, and wrongs before us, we never change. We even hear that some deny it as fake news. I also used to hear someone say when something was challenging in truth, they would say, "I deny your reality and substitute my own." I still have yet to hear a particular leader of the South say that, but I'm sure it's a coming. I have lately been preaching on peace. That peace begins with us when we change our hearts and accept humility and the truth given in the gospel message. And that we are called to new life in Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the sins of the world and opened the door to true and everlasting life. What we express in life of faith comes from that which was in our hearts and that which we have embraced. No one can force you to accept truth. But that which you embrace is weighed on the scales of everlasting life and truth. But simple truth also comes from the realities around us. Reality like the blessed land about us. And we are called to be caretakers of this blessing and to share it. But if we do not look after or respect the land and the water, we will lose it. Abundance is the catalyst to arrogance and pride. Abundance is the catalyst to arrogance and pride. And then what follows is neglect and respect. Water, which is given in such abundance, has brought us to this new reality. The great lakes on our doorstep have such beauty. And now neglect and disrespect, it is now showing signs of illness and its true fragility. And if we lose the water, which is the basis of life for all of us, we even lose ourselves. Everything has its place, and everything is given for a purpose. All creation, including humanity. Every one of you have a ministry that no one else can do other than you, and that God the Creator has placed you on this earth to do something specific, and that without you, this world would stop turning. This I believe. Each and every one of you were meant to do something. And until that is completed, you're not done. Respect. That means humbling yourself and acknowledging that God has a plan and that plan will be completed even in your respect or neglect, your willingness or your rebellion. But your ministry will be completed to the glory of God. Now, I realize that I've been preaching on some very hard truths. And for a moment, I just want you to relax. Just take a second. I love to keep everybody awake and smiling, to the chagrin of my mother. Because my mother, when I told her I was moving to Toronto, she said, you're going to a new church. She said, when you get there, you make sure that you don't make those people laugh. They're not supposed to have fun in church. But it is the good news of hope and peace that we are to proclaim, to lift up to the glory of God, to proclaim in our ministry and to smile and rejoice. Not to walk out those doors to begin your ministry downcast, so serious that you scare everybody off. We know that as ministers and as pastors and priests, that we are to proclaim the good news, the joyous message that there is life, hope, love, peace, and blessings. And that the peace message begins with us as we go out. I love to be able to proclaim this message, and as I have been able to proclaim it in the churches across this land, I have received the responses. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a secret away for the other priests. God has blessed us as pastors and priests to see have the most perfect view, and that is right here. I get to see each and every one of you in your responses and how you look with intent or how you fall asleep. How your eyes glaze over as you're going through the shopping lists in your minds, or when you roll your eyes. I've heard this message before. Lord, have mercy. I've been blessed to be able to preach in many amazing churches. One church I was blessed to be able to preach in. It was very ornate, and it was high Gothic style. And it had many stone columns and an incredible amount of hard-seated pews within the church. And the pulpit, it had its own elevation with its own canopy, and it had 8 steps with its own gate, which the verger went, led me out, opened up the gate, and I went up the 8 steps. The verger closed the gate, and I went up. And I looked out, and I saw the most solemn, serious people you could ever imagine, which is terrifying for a new priest and a new preacher. And when I spoke, today, we hear, God's word. And God, speaks to each, and every one of us. And I watched the people, and they were listening, but they weren't listening. Do you know what I mean? And so I told them a story about one of the churches that I was blessed to have and where the children themselves taught me about being a child of God. And they taught me about, through the simplest things, the simplest acts of the glory of God in things. One of them was music. And I told them of this story, that the children sent me away with a song to proclaim the message. And they sent me away with this. This little light of mine. Remember that in your Sunday school? You learn the song and you learn the actions to lift it up and to raise it up. But as we get older, arthritis starts to affect us. And it starts to diminish and slip down lower and lower. And usually by the age of 16... arthritis has it down here, hidden away. But the song that the Sunday school proclaimed, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So Everyone, I want you to try this. This is reactive, and I want to make sure that you're all awake so that you're not nodding off to yourself. Can you put, if you can, unless arthritis is really, really bad. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. See, they sing very well. In fact, that was the response that I got back from the dean, who spoke to me and said after, Father Chris, that was most welcome homily and well written. But I do have to say that I have never seen the 11 o'clock congregation be so responsive, much less sing. This little light of mine. I preached that also in a small church in rural Saskatchewan a couple weeks after that. And following that, Tracy and I were out shopping in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and we were walking down the streets when I heard a voice yell out from across the street, Father Chris! Of course, I looked around, and there was a man across the street, and he proclaimed the message of faith and hope through a simple action. Both my wife and I, we smiled, we did this. We knew what that meant. This little light of mine. The light of faith should be lifted up daily in all the things that you say and do in the journey of life. All things should be done in humility to and for the glory of God, and we should respect ourselves first and the person beside us, and even the one who crossed our path in life. Peace and love come from and abide in our hearts, and no one can change you other than you. Faith should be lifted up as a torch for all the world to see that you are a child of God, a child of God, a child of peace, and a child of love, and that you are loved. God loves you so much that he gave his only son so that you might have everlasting life. And this is and should be the truth that you walk and live and express for all to see. This should be your witness and your song. So in closing, I thank you for inviting me to preach before you here today. I thank you for your participation in the shared ministry which begins when you leave here and go out those doors today. And I ask that you let your light shine for all the world to see, and that you say a message of peace to all those that cross your path or walk with you in the journey. I ask that you respect each other, for you are children of God, our Creator. And each and every one of us have a ministry, whether you acknowledge it or not. If you expect to put all the weight upon your ministers, we as ministers will fail. But each and every one of you have a ministry to proclaim this message and to take it out with you, to invite somebody in need, and to uplift them and bless them as you are blessed. This joyous message begins with you, as you set out on the trail of life and faith to respect everybody and to bless. I began the sermon by calling you my relations. I started saying this at our interfaith gatherings, and where I mentioned this solid truth, that we are all children of God's creation, each and every one of us. And wonder, all of us are made so wonderfully unique and glorious that there is only one of us. But yet God knows you and your ministry. Next time, take a look in the mirror and realize that God has a purpose for you, that you are so wonderfully made that there is only one of you. Respect yourself and respect others. So walk in humility and respect and love and peace and have it come from the heart. But it starts and it becomes from you as a family of the family of God. Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.